Welcome again. It's great to have you listening this morning. We're looking at Luke chapter 23 in the broadcast. Luke chapter 23, and we're going to begin reading in verse 39. Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 39 and going down through verse 43. Jesus has been arrested, and now he has been taken to the place of execution, and they have crucified him. So Jesus is hanging in agony on the cross, and with him are two thieves. The Bible says Jesus was right in the middle of these two thieves. One thief was crucified on his right hand, and the other thief was crucified on his left hand. And what we're looking at here this morning is an interesting conversation that took place between these two thieves. So if you picture it in your mind, you have these two thieves talking to each other, and Jesus is between them. So Jesus, in a sense, is kind of caught in the middle here, and they're trying to talk around him to each other. I believe that that represents a very practical lesson for you and I today. As these two thieves were talking with each other and arguing, in a sense, with each other, Jesus was right in the middle, listening to every word that they said. Today, when we speak to anyone and when we disagree with somebody, Jesus hears every word that we say. So when you think about a quarrel that occurs between two people, remember that Jesus knows what's being said. He hears every word, just like he heard these thieves in his day. Let's begin reading here today in verse 39, Luke 23, verse 39 beginning. And one of the malefactors, that is one of the thieves, one of these criminals, which were hanged. The Bible refers to this method of execution called crucifixion as hanging someone, not hanging by a rope, but being hung on a cross by the spikes that were nailed into the person's wrist and ankles. So this thief is hanging on a cross next to Jesus' cross, and the Bible says that he railed on Jesus. That means he reviled him. He blasphemed Jesus. He spoke evil of Jesus. He said, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." If you're really the Messiah, if you're really the Christ, then you ought to be able to do something here. If you're really the Messiah who works all these miracles that we've heard about, then you ought to be able to do a miracle here and deliver us from crucifixion. So this thief was like those Jewish leaders that made fun of Jesus. You'll remember that the Jewish leaders said, "He saved others. If he's the Christ, let him save himself." So they're mocking Jesus, they're making fun of Jesus, and they're running him down. So here's a man who is close to death. Here's a man who is about to die, and he's not humbled. As a matter of fact, if anything, he's even more stubborn now. Imagine that. You know, I believe that most people, as they approach death, at least have some fear enough to keep from saying the kinds of things that this man said, but not in his case. He reviles Jesus. On the other hand, and I'm saying literally, on the other hand of Jesus, you had another thief. This man was different. And here's what he said in verse 40 and 41. But the other answering rebuked him. This other thief heard what this thief said in the beginning to Jesus, and he got on to him. The Bible says he rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Aren't you afraid here? Aren't you afraid of God? Aren't you afraid to say something like that? Because you're going to leave this world. We're going to die. You're going to die. And you know that you're going to give an account to God. Don't you fear God? Because we're in the same condemnation as this man. We're sentenced to death, and we're going to leave this world." So the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed to men once to die, and after this, the judgment. That is exactly what takes place with every human being. Well, what this thief is saying is that ought to cause us to fear. That ought to make you afraid. And how is it that you're not afraid, given the situation that we find ourselves in? And then in verse 41, he says, "And we indeed justly." Now, the word "justly" there means fairly. Now, what does that word apply to? What is he saying is just? It's the condemnation that they were under. The sentence that they were given and the punishment that they were receiving, he says, was just. He says it was fair. And not only that, he says, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. What he's saying here when he spoke these words, we receive the due reward of our deeds. We committed these deeds, we committed these acts, stealing, we've been guilty of theft, we are criminals, and we're getting the reward that is due us. What he's saying is, we're getting what we deserve. Now, how many people who have been convicted of a crime will say something like that? There are many people that can be caught red-handed committing a crime, and yet they will blame somebody else, they will make excuses, or they will outrightly deny that they did anything wrong. Not this man. This man said, we did wrong, and we deserve to be punished for it. We're getting what we deserve in this situation. He didn't say, well, this is not fair. He didn't get onto Jesus and try to blame him. He says, we deserve this. Now, folks, this is the first step toward repentance, and that is admitting that you've done something wrong, admitting that you have sinned. There's no way for a person to repent if he does not acknowledge that he's done something wrong. That's what's wrong with many people today. The reason that many people are not saved today is because they won't admit that they've done wrong. They won't admit that they've sinned. This man that we're reading about in Luke 23, verse 40 and 41, admitted that they had done wrong, and he admitted that they were getting what they deserved. So here's a man who is obviously penitent. And notice that he says in verse 41, this man, referring to Jesus, has done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. Now, Jesus didn't defend himself to this thief. Jesus didn't argue with that other thief. He didn't tell these people, look, I didn't do anything wrong here and I don't deserve this, and they're executing me who am an innocent man. Jesus did not defend himself in words, but his life defended itself. Jesus showed by his life that he was innocent. Jesus didn't tell him that he had done nothing wrong. Jesus showed it. And I believe that that is a very, very important distinction to make there. And I believe there's a practical lesson there. And that is sometimes we try to defend ourselves by saying something and telling people that we're innocent. And there's a time and a place for that, obviously. But in the Bible, we find that the scriptures show that our lives ought to proclaim whether we're innocent or not. Now, what we find then in verse 42 is that after this thief, who is penitent, says these things about their crimes and about Jesus' innocence, he says in verse 42 to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, this man obviously was like the rest of the Jews. He didn't understand what the kingdom was really all about. I'm talking about the kingdom of Christ. They thought that the kingdom of Christ was a political empire. They thought that it was an earthly empire. Now, did he think that Jesus was going to free himself here? Did he think that Jesus was going to be let down from the cross and not die? Or did he think that Jesus was going to rise from the dead and then be the king over his kingdom? We don't know. We don't know all that he was thinking. But at any rate, what we do see here is that this man is penitent. He is sorry for his sins. Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He is confessing here that he is a sinner. And he is repenting of his sins. He is sorry for his sins. He's sorry for what he's done. And then Jesus speaks these famous words in verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He says, you're going to be with me today. Where? In paradise. We know from Acts 2:31 that when Jesus died on the cross, that his soul went to Hades. Hades is that place that is composed of, on the one hand, the bad place, the place of punishment, the place of flames, but then it also has the place where good people go, where saved people go when they die. And that's the place, of course, where Abraham and Lazarus were in Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31. Now, Acts 2, verse 31 says that when Jesus died, his soul went to Hades, to this place where Lazarus and Abraham were. So Jesus is saying, you're going to go with me there. In other words, you're going to die a saved person. Was this thief saved? Absolutely. Yes, he was. Somebody says, well, was he baptized? We don't know whether he had been baptized before this or not. Had he been baptized by John the Baptist, or had he been baptized by one of Jesus' disciples? We don't know that. But the bottom line is this. If a man had not heard, he did not have to be baptized. Luke 7, 29 and 30 talks about the fact that the publicans accepted the baptism of John and were baptized of him. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, not being baptized of him. But the bottom line is, we don't know if he had been baptized sometime in the past or not. But here's the point. The law of Moses was still in effect at this time. The law of Moses was the operative law of God at this point. Jesus has not died yet. And so it's the law of Moses that this man is going to be judged by. Colossians 2 verse 14 says that Jesus nailed that law to the cross. When he died on the cross, the old law, in effect, died with him. Here's the point about that. Baptism was not a commandment of the law of Moses. And so if this man was living under the law of Moses, and the law of Moses did not command baptism, then this man did not have to be baptized. That's the point that many people leave out here and fail to consider when they look at the thief on the cross. And so when somebody says, well, I believe that people in the Old Testament living under the law of Moses were saved just like people living under the New Testament, folks, they don't even believe that themselves. Because, folks, nobody living under the law of Moses had to believe or could believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That was not something that they could even believe. And so to say that people are saved today just like they were in the Old Testament ignores the fact that we're living under the New Testament, not the Old Testament. We're under the law that says in Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We're under the law of the New Testament, which says in John chapter 3, verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I want to look at one passage in the book of Hebrews that is very important to remember here. Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. Now, what he's saying there is he's using an illustration from life. When you make a will, that will goes into effect after you die. Jesus made a will, including water baptism into Christ for the remission of sins. When did that go into effect? After Jesus died. But what about this thief? When was he saved? He was saved before Jesus died, before that will, the New Testament, went into effect. Folks, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.